Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So this episode I'm going to touch on overcoming poor sleep, motivation and mood during the winter months. And the reason why I'm creating this episode is I hear a lot of people talk about kind of a lack of motivation, a lack of drive, sleep being disrupted and overall just like a lack of ability to stick to the plan when it comes to winter. So I'm going to touch on why I think this is the case, how to potentially overcome it and some kind of things you can put in place in action to make sure that this isn't something that's going to derail or affect your progress during winter. So in terms of like what actually causes us to kind of feel a bit kind of lethargic, sleep poor, etc., it's seasonal affective disorder. So it's actually a type of depression that people can experience. And obviously it's on a spectrum, so you might not actually have depression or seasonal affective disorder, but you might experience some symptoms of it, and some people might have some more kind of excessive symptoms. It's actually kind of recognized as like a mental health condition, and like I said, some people will experience it more than others. Some things you may experience are things like low energy, poorer mood, a lack of kind of concentration, and things like sleep and appetite being disrupted, as well as just feeling a bit down, lethargic, and just like a lack of drive about you. And you often hear people kind of refer to it as like the winter blues. And yeah, so just you're just not quite yourself, you're a bit kind of down in the dumps, and sleep can be disrupted like I touched on, which obviously we don't want. That's going to impact our ability to progress. And in terms of why we kind of experience this, I believe a large part of it's due to like sunlight exposure. Just because in the winter months there's obviously a lot, especially if you're in Scotland, there's a lot less sunlight in the winter and you're not really getting much light exposure. Especially if you work a 9-to-5, you might be getting to the office before the sun's up and you might be leaving the office and the sun's already down. And that, as a result, is going to basically affect our internal body clock. So our internal body clock is basically our circadian rhythm. So what regulates our sleep-wake cycle, and also regulates things like our energy and also our mood. So our circadian rhythm, basically like when we get less sunlight, we produce less serotonin, which is something that is I believe a neurotransmitter that affects mood. And also like it affects our ability to produce melatonin negatively. We can feel kind of sluggish because we're kind of producing it when we don't want to produce it, because we've got like a lack of sunlight exposure, as I touched on. And obviously, like, if you are in a country like Scotland that does have very little sunlight when it comes to the winter months, you'll experience this more. Whereas I'm not sure exactly what countries have a lot more daylight in the winter months. I know, like, just because I've been there myself, like, the Canaries, they have a lot more kind of bright light and sun when it comes to winter. It's not quite as dark and dull as Scotland, sadly. So, like, if you're anywhere like around those parts, it's going to affect you a bit less. But still, regardless, there's still going to be a lot of take homes and a lot of practical kind of things you can apply that's going to impact and help you progress when it comes to your training and overall your overall quality of life in this episode. So in terms of what we can do to kind of manage it is basically like manipulating our light exposure. So yes, we don't have, let's say, the ability to get as much sunlight, but there's still practices we can put in place that is going to help us manage it and basically not have that derail our progress or be as much of an issue. And the main thing we're going to kind of touch on, first of all, is going to be like using light exposure, using light therapy to help us kind of overcome this. So obviously we don't have access to actual sunlight, or we have less sunlight available, so we need to be more strategic with maybe when we get outside, etc. So there's a few things I'm going to touch on and a few ways we can kind of set our circadian rhythm. So when we get like bright light exposure in the morning, what that basically does is allow us to basically set our circadian rhythm. It tells our body it is daytime. It tells our body that it's the morning, so that we then produce things like cortisol, which helps in terms of mood, energy and alertness. So when we get bright light exposure in, we ideally want to get that through sunlight. Obviously, we can't really do so. So what you can do instead is use light therapy. So use like a sad light. If you're watching us on YouTube, I'll turn my sad light on right now. As you can see, it is ridiculously bright. And like having a sad light, which is just basically like a really bright light you can set on your desk, sit in your room or anywhere in the house, and sitting in front of it for like 20 to 30 minutes, ideally in the morning, because that's when we want to set our circadian rhythm. Going to mimic natural light exposure. So that's a great tool you can put in place. So if you do work at home or work at a desk, then that is something you can definitely utilize that I recommend. So get yourself a sad light. You can get cheaper ones on Amazon if you don't want to splurge out and spend a lot of money on one at first. And then maybe if you think it's beneficial, you can maybe get like a higher cost one in the future. And alternatively, if you don't want to kind of purchase a sad light, just turn on all the bright lights in your house on. So if you've got like a bright lamp and you sit at a desk, shine that right towards you, put your big light on in your room, open your blinds. Just do the best you can to get as much light as possible in your eyes as you can. It's going to be hard to get the same effect from just turning your big light on. It's not going to quite have the same effect, but it's going to be better than sitting in a dark room regardless. So that's what I recommend you potentially do. Alternatively, like get outside. If you do have the opportunity to get outside when it is quite light, then go and time your steps and try and get some steps in first thing in the morning when there's going to be quite a lot of bright light, and that's going to help your circadian rhythm accordingly. So yeah, there are your options there. Either using light therapy, so like a sad light, turning on all the bright lights in your home and trying to kind of mimic a sad light through just using lamps, etc. Or just getting outside and getting some sunlight exposure in the morning through just getting some steps in. And even if it's cloudy, you will still benefit from being outside. So although like it's obviously not as bright, you'll still get more of an effect than just, let's say, not getting light exposure itself. So even on like a dull or overcast day, it's still a good habit to get into. And it just means when it is quite dull and overcast, you might need to spend longer outside. But again, even if you can't, 10 minutes is better than nothing. When we're thinking about making progress, we want to think about, right, what's realistic, what's sustainable on paper instead of what's optimal. Because if we just chase optimal and have an all or nothing approach, then that's not going to do us a lot of good in that regard. So yeah, spend time outdoors if you can, even if it's cloudy. You can even, like, if you have got a desk and you work from home or that, you can even put your desk close to the window so you're getting some natural sunlight. It's not the same when it is through like a window or through glass. You don't get the same quite as sunlight exposure. But again, it's not about having an all or nothing approach or what's perfect. It's what's better than your current situation, if that makes sense. And the same like I'll apply with nutrition. Like if someone's beating themselves up because their diet's not perfect, but previously they were eating McDonald's multiple times a day, whatever, and they're beating themselves up for having like a higher calorie, let's say, fruit, or they are putting a bit of sauce on their chicken and rice and salad or whatever, like that's still better than what they were doing previously. Same applies with the light exposure. So yeah, and a good thing to do with it is like establish a routine, make it second nature, make it a habit. Because if you make something a habit, and it basically means you can kind of put on autopilot, and then that's like a guaranteed win that you're ticking off in your day. That's going to help you in terms of your, again, mood, energy, alertness, motivation to train, etc. So that helps absolutely massively. And when it comes to like night light exposure in the evening time, we want to basically do the opposite. So basically bright light tells us it's daytime. So what we don't want is bright light in the evening. So when it comes to the evening, try and use warm light and dull light. So things like a salt Himalayan lamp, it could be candles, it could just be like a dull lamp, or a you can even consider using blue light blockers. And the reason being is warm light and bright light will disrupt your ability to get a good sleep. It disrupts your ability to produce melatonin, which is one of the hormones that will regulate your sleep-wake cycle. So yeah, limit light exposure as much as possible in the evening. You can also use things like a night shift mode, or put an orange tint to your phone screen and on your laptop, on your TV, and turn the brightness down on them accordingly, which will also help. And if you've got an iPhone, you can go in shortcuts and you can put it so that the nightlight automatically comes in, and you can do something called set color filters. So you make your screen more of like an orange tint even further when it comes to nighttime. So that's something you could definitely try. That'll be a big help in my opinion. And in terms of what else you can do is you can also use blue light blocking glasses. So if you've ever seen me on any of like my show day vlogs or that, or any of my videos in the later half of the day, full days of eating, etc., using like blue light blocking glasses, then that is basically why, because it's going to help my ability to get a good sleep when it comes to night. So you can consider using them. They might not look the coolest, but what do you want? Do you want to make progress? Do you want to look cool? Or, like, it's up to you, you know what I mean? And even if you don't want to wear them out and about, you can at least wear them when you're in your house where no one's going to see you. So it's not a bad idea. And yes, maybe they cost £20 or so, but it's like a one-off expense that you're going to benefit from regularly. Whereas the price of a meal out's the same. The price of getting like a pre-workout is going to be the same, but obviously it's probably going to affect your sleep. And also it's going to run out, whereas bullet blockers, unless you break them, then you're going to have them for good pretty much. So that's a great tool that I recommend putting in place. And in terms of something else to touch on, it's just your overall sleep routine. So with your sleep, making sure you've got like a good sleep wake time, so you're getting to bed and waking up at as similar a time as possible. The reason being is doing this is going to keep you in a good circadian rhythm. It's going to help regulate your circadian rhythm. So circadian, I believe, is a Latin term for around 24 hours. So basically, you've got a body clock that's around about 24 hours. So basically, if you go to bed and wake up at the same time, it's going to keep your circadian rhythm in check. You're going to have more predictable sleep, which again is going to have more predictable, going to lead to a more predictable mood, energy, performance, and as a result, better progress and better quality of life. So as well as doing things like having a regular sleep routine, limiting light exposure, getting bright light in the morning, you can consider things like making sure your room's cool, making sure it is pitch dark or as close to it as you possibly can. I even go through to the extent of, if I've got any LED lights in my room, like when things are on standby, I'll actually put a bit of tape over them so they're not disrupting my sleep. I know, a bit crazy, but all these marginal gains, as I referred to in the previous podcast, do add up. You can also consider like using certain supplementation if you've got all those previous habits nailed. And also you can consider things like making sure your room's as dark as possible, you're breathing through your nose using nasal strips, mouth tape, which is going to help you sleep better, not snore and wake yourself up during the night. And you can also consider putting practices in place like making sure that you are just managing your stress as best as possible, getting off your phone as well. And again, if you are on your phone, putting the light as dull as you possibly can when you're doing so. Also, like, I know it's kind of self-explanatory, but like exercise as well. If you do feel like you've got quite like a bad mood in the winter months, having a good level of physical activity is shown to obviously improve our mood. And they also have some benefits in terms of sleep quality, because it will boost serotonin, which is kind of one of the, I believe, feel-good hormones. So that's something you could consider. Just like exercising on a regular basis itself is going to definitely help. As well as just making sure like your diet's in a good spot, and that's going to just keep your energy in a good spot if that is one of the symptoms you potentially experience. Like if we've got good overall nutrition, we're not going to have any deficiencies, we're not going to feel rubbish throughout the days. And yeah, when it comes to sleep, what I recommend is make sure you do have like a good sleep environment. And what I mean by that is, again, using like warm lights, candles, making sure you have like a room that helps you actually relax, like not working in your bed, creating like a sleep sanctuary and creating like a positive association with your bedroom and sleep, meaning you're not eating in your bed, you're not on your phone a ton, you're not like doing anything work or stressful in your bed, because then you'll create that kind of association with being in your bed and also like working. And it's not gonna kind of, you're not gonna correlate being in bed with your ability to kind of fall asleep, if that makes sense. You're not gonna associate that with a place where you actually sleep, rest, recover, and as a result, you're probably not going to have as great an ability to switch off. And also, you're probably not going to work as productively as well, which is obviously something to consider. And in terms of what else can help is with the sleep side of things, stress management will play a massive impact in our ability to get good sleep. Because when cortisol's high, which is the stress hormone, our ability to basically get a good sleep is going to be diminished. So at night, you can try things like meditation, deep breathing, anything that just puts you in a relaxed state, going for a hot bath, going a walk without your phone, just like anything that is going to put you in that parasympathetic state, which is the rest and digest state. And again, that's going to lead to better sleep, better digestion, better mood as a result of that, and also energy. And like with stress management practices, the best stress management practice is the one that works for you. What I mean by that is you don't need a research paper to show something improves your stress. Like, and it's going to be dependent on the individual. Like, if someone loves going a walk, then that's going to help them with stress. If they hate walking, then that's not going to be a good practice to help their stress. Whereas if they like stretching or the sauna, that's going to be a better practice because, and the same applies. Like, if someone's got a dog and they love walking their dog, then that's going to be a net positive to their stress. Whereas if someone hates walking their dog, that's not going to help their stress. I wouldn't recommend making your dog just sit in the house all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say is it is dependent on the individual. Like, some people might find doing certain practices might help massively with their stress, like having maybe tea if they enjoy tea. Whereas if someone hates tea, it's not really going to benefit them. So you don't need a research paper to back up something that's going to improve your stress management and your overall mood. It's dependent on the individual. So find what kind of works for you, what helps you switch off. Personally, at night, like what I'll basically do is I'll get in the routine of at 9 o'clock, like my WhatsApp is disabled. I don't get on my WhatsApp. I put my phone away. I put my Apple Watch on charge for when I'm tracking my sleep at night. And then I'll basically watch like a podcast on my iPad that's not informative, that's just entertainment pretty much. And then I'll just kind of relax, get off my phone, maybe talk to my girlfriend or that, and then have a bath. And then if I'm doing anything, I'll do things that aren't work related. So the last hour or two before bed, I'll kind of not do any actual coaching kind of work. I'll get back to a few clients before 9 sort of thing, and then check my phone again at 9. But apart from that, anything I'll be doing is things like a bit of food prep, well, listen to a podcast, prepare my supplements or clothes for the next day, and maybe just planning my day out and writing down all the tasks that I've got to get done for the following day, which is going to help again my stress management. It's going to help me relax, switch off, and not have racing thoughts when I'm trying to sleep. And as a result, again, going back to more predictable sleep, and as a result, getting over that seasonal affective disorder that I've touched on throughout the episode. So yeah, and focus on kind of stacking these wee things up, like I touched on in the previous episode, like the benefit of like compounding habits. That applies greatly here. So stack these wee habits in terms of light exposure in the morning, limiting in the evening, the routine that's going to help your sleep quality, training regularly, like all these things do add up and will help massively with your mood and your overall progress. So hope this episode was valuable. If you did like it and found value from it, like share it on your story, I'd massively appreciate that. So share it on Instagram, give me a tag at The Improvement Podcast and at Charlie J Cuthbert. And if you don't follow me on there already, feel free to do so. Again, would massively appreciate everyone's support. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. Any questions that you have for like a Q&A episode, let me know. And basically, like, I compile all those questions so that next time I'm doing a Q&A, I've got them all that I'll kind of hit off or read off. And if you do enjoy the podcast, drop me a message and just let me know if you do, because it means the world when folk listen and tune in, and I hear that it benefits someone in a positive manner, because that's a goal for the podcast really. It's not something that I'm trying to kind of make money off. It's just a passion project really, and doing what I enjoy. So yeah, thank you very much for listening, and hope everyone has a great rest of their day.